Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we are welcomed into your presence and into your house. So here we come, Dad, dressed in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. So grateful, Brother Jesus, that you redeemed us. You bought us back. So now we have this wonderful right standing with our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Dad. So here we are. We're going to sing songs, Lord. Be blessed by our praises unto you. And just come, pour your Spirit out upon us. Guide us and lead us. But we want you to hear our grateful hearts, Lord. Hear our grateful hearts for salvation in Christ Jesus. If we have that, we have everything we need. And everything else is just a big bonus. So we thank you for that salvation that is secured by you. And we just lift you up now and pray, be glorified in your house. Amen. Remember Zacchaeus?
Yes.
The tax collector. Luke 19. So please turn to Luke 19. And let's continue to get to know God better and our Savior better through this story. This story takes place just a short time before Jesus enters Jerusalem in triumph. Just a few days before Passover, which we will be celebrating in a couple of weeks. We call it Palm Sunday now, but that's when he entered into Jerusalem. And so this is right before that. And Zacchaeus here is another example of someone who has heard about Jesus and who desperately wants to see him as Jesus passed through his hometown of Jericho. And so we continue the theme of desiring to get to know Jesus, know God better. So let us pray, and then we'll read from Luke 19. So Larry, would you pray over the word, please?
Would you kind of quite attention to much of the privilege of hearing this about your home country that you walked in? We pray that you can continue to bless him, bless his message that he's bringing today.
Yes, Lord.
And pray that you open each one of our ears to yes, hear Lord. What we need to hear. That's your only name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Hence the picture on your bulletin. That's a sycamore fig tree. So you can get an idea how a person could climb that and sit up on a branch. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Doesn't this sound like people? He has gone to the guest of a sinner. There's the jump, criticizing him, Jesus. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." It's a wonderful little story. So here we have Zacchaeus. He's the chief tax collector in this great city of Jericho, and he was rich. Judean taxes for Rome were collected from three different centers. Capernaum, we saw Capernaum a little bit today. Jerusalem, we will see later. And Jericho. That's where Zacchaeus lived. Jericho was a very busy city. Lots of travel. That's how you got to Egypt and all sorts of different places. A lot of commerce through there. A lot of opportunity to collect taxes. And this guy, Zacchaeus, he was the top chief tax collector in Jericho. He was feared and he was hated. Tax collectors were always known as rogues and traitors to the Jewish people. They were corrupt, most of them. He had employees because he's the chief guy. They would extort money from the Jewish people of Jericho, and he took his share before he paid the Romans. And one of the comments was up to half of what he took, he kept for himself, and then gave what the Romans demanded. So he's hated by his own people, the Jews. He's hated by the Romans simply because he's a Jew. And the Romans just hate the Jews. He had this vast wealth, but it's kind of presumed he really didn't have a lot of friends. And his life wasn't all that full. And the kind of Conjecture is that, man, you got everything in the whole world, but you got nothing of the kingdom. No spiritual basis. He wanted to see Jesus, though. So why did he want to see Jesus? So there's a few things. Perhaps it was due to his reputation. Because now Jesus is very well known by now. We went all through Luke the last couple of years, and we see the crowds keep following him and get bigger and bigger. And so he's well known. And this is, again, just before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So it's just before, actually, he raises Lazarus from the dead, and the crowds get even bigger. Many miracles had been performed. His following was huge. But maybe it was just curiosity. Maybe he just knew that Levi, the tax collector from Jerusalem, who was renamed later Matthew, that was more of the Greek term, he had become a follower, even a disciple of this Jesus Christ. Perhaps he was lonely, just felt empty inside. He had all the wealth he could ever have wanted, but he knew something was missing. Or perhaps he was just tired of being dishonest. Maybe he held a hard conviction by the Holy Spirit. One of the comments was, take a note here, God draws us. He gives us opportunities to repent. He uses every single principle available, fear, sympathy, conviction, curiosity, whatever, to lead us to his truth, to salvation. So perhaps this should be one of the ways that we need to be able to pray for those who we know who have not yet accepted Jesus as the Son of God and as the Savior. Pray for the Lord to draw them. As I said in my prayer earlier, John chapter 6, he enables us, he draws us. So we pray for those who don't know that God would use some opportunities. Another interesting thing about Zacchaeus, if you flip back to 18 in Luke, there's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. They're in Jerusalem right now. But the tax collector, remember, he stood at a distance and he would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Was that Zacchaeus? Maybe. Jerusalem's only, you know, a day's walk away from Jericho. Maybe a little longer. Maybe he's already having some repentant feelings. And so he wants to see Jesus. And the point is, would we have that kind of enthusiasm to see Jesus if we had the chance? We tried that hard to go run and climb a tree. He was short, so he had to run ahead, had to pull up his robe and run ahead of the crowd, climb a tree, because Jesus is just in the crowd. They're not putting Jesus up on a horse or a donkey or on their shoulders. He wouldn't be able to see him. So he runs and climbs the tree. Wow, kind of risking to be pretty foolish. And he's like the chief tax collector. But I like to see more his childlike faith. I got to see this guy. Luke 18:17 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So he climbs that tree. He wants to see Jesus. And much to his surprise, Jesus calls him by name. Jesus knew him. Probably much to Zacchaeus' surprise. And what did Jesus do? He invited himself to Zacchaeus' home. Nowhere else in the gospel does Jesus ever invite himself to somebody else's home. But what's kind of neat about that, at least, again, the thought process is that he knew that Zacchaeus would never invite him into his home due to his feeling of being unworthy, of being hated by everybody, especially the Jews. So Jesus just invited himself. But that was an honor that Zacchaeus did not expect, because we read that he gladly accepted. He hurried off the tree and said yes. And isn't it just like our Jesus to bestow mercy upon us and exceed all of our expectations? He just wanted to see him. And look, he knows him by name. He calls him. And we see in verse 2, all the people complained that Jesus was going to eat at the house of a sinner. Yes. But doesn't it show how Jesus is so willing to just meet us right where we are? Right where we are. And he saw his enthusiasm. He's sitting there, Zacchaeus, I am going to stay at your house tonight. How cool is that? I read in the Paul commentary, Jericho is one of the cities of priests. And yet our Lord, setting public opinion at defiance, passed over all the houses of the priests and announced his intention of lodging for the night with one of the whose life's occupation was so hateful to the Jewish religious world. I mean all Jews, but especially the priests. The master read recognized in the intense eagerness of Zacchaeus to get a sight of him and possibly even a word from him, that it was in the chief publican's house where lay his father's business for Jesus in Jericho. Go to that guy's house. Remember, Jesus always said, I just do what my father's will. Saw him, he went. And what happened in the house? Boy, they just don't go there. We don't see it. The Bible doesn't say. But we do know that Zacchaeus was transformed by being in the presence of Jesus, listening to his words. And have we not all been transformed by that experience of being in the presence of Jesus? And why do we come to church every day? Do we not desire to be transformed over and over and over again? Don't let it wear off, Lord. So we come back on Sundays to rejoin, get in the presence of God, so we can understand him and know him better. So here we see Zacchaeus is saved by Jesus' own declaration, redeemed. He's given a spiritual heart transplant. And we know that by verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. He's very wealthy. So now all of a sudden he's going to give half of his stuff to those who are in need. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So please keep in mind, he's not bragging here. He's not proclaiming his righteousness. He's just giving clear evidence of his conversion, complete change of heart. Being in the presence of Jesus and hearing his words, he was just convicted of his guilt. And that's why I constantly say and have been, is that we do not despise God's discipline, because he's trying to keep us on track. And he's convicted of his guilt and changes his heart. In this case, fourfold repayment, according to Jewish law, is if you've been convicted in court of stealing. If I steal your stuff, I got to return it and fourfold. However, if one confesses that they took your stuff and gave it back, they just have to give back plus 20% interest if they just confess it. But Zacchaeus was actually showing his guilt because he made known to him he was stealing from them, so I'm going to pay back fourfold anybody that I've stolen from. And then we see in verse 9 and 10, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. A son of Abraham. Now, saying Zacchaeus was now one of God's chosen people, saved by faith, just as Abraham was saved by faith. If we follow the thread of Abraham, he was saved by faith. And we read it even in Romans 7, it was by his faith. And it was his faith that he heard from Jesus, said, I will make a nation from your seed. Here, Zacchaeus is also saved by faith, just as we are saved by faith, when we accept that Jesus is truly the Son of God. And we change. And we use that to change. And Zacchaeus changed. And then he says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Jesus was sent by God the Father to save us. Does that not sound familiar? John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not have sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I always loved that, verse 17. I didn't learn that one when I was in Sunday school stuff. I just learned the first one, 16. But 17, I love that. The world through him might be saved. And of course, we also read in Matthew 18, we read this actually in Luke a few weeks ago, but in Matthew 18, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. This is a strong theme that we have to understand. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save us. So Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's a promise. He wishes that none would perish. And that's why we can always keep praying for those that don't know him yet. Because we know, Lord, you wish that none would perish. Maybe you're the only one praying for that person. Keep it up. And we see in Luke where he picks up the lamb and he puts it on his shoulders and carries it home. I love that picture. So then the question is to us, are we saved? Are we redeemed? Are we reconciled to God through Christ? Because that's what he's done. He came to save us. Are you like Zacchaeus, kind of seeking your Savior to bring you home? You heard about this Jesus guy, but you want to kind of check him out? Maybe get to know him a little better, like we've seen in some of the other stories we've read? The woman with the issue of blood? Jairus? Now Zacchaeus? Well, I'll tell you what, he's seeking you. He's seeking you, and he knows your name, just like he knew Zacchaeus' name. And just come to him as a little child and let him carry you home. Carry you home in his arms. You know why he carries the sheep? I've talked about this once before. I've heard of sheep before. If he got that lamb up in the mountains, he's not going to let go of that sheep. He's going to put that sheep right here and carry him home, because otherwise it'll take him another week to try and get that sheep to go where he wants it to go. Isn't that like you and me? So think of this as we close. Think of the great conversations that you and I can have with Jesus as our Savior as he carries us home, as he carries us through this life to our eternal home in heaven. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, carry us home. Carry us through this life and carry us home. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your deep love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you make yourself available to us. We thank you, Lord, that you know our name. Help us to really see it. Help us to get to know you better. Not the way that we hear about you, especially in current culture, not in all those things, but in your truth. The truth is you love us. The truth is you came to restore us, to save us. And the truth is you did that because there is another side. If we don't accept you, if we reject you, then there is the other path. He doesn't want that for us. He doesn't hide that from us. It will happen. But let it not be said of us. And let it not be said of us that we've ever turned away and done like the priest and the Levite to that poor beaten soldier on the person on the way to Jericho, and they just passed by the other side. Didn't look. But be like the Samaritan that looked and took pity and compassion. Let us take pity and compassion on all those around us. And even if we can't maybe speak to them, maybe they don't want to hear it, we can pray. Lord, we can pray. So help us to pray for one another, pray for those that we see and know. And most of all, we can do it only, Lord, if you are carrying us. So carry us home. Encourage us by your Spirit. And be glorified, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.